We are back to story time by Chava. We are continuing the book Once Upon a Journey, Volume 2, which was adapted by Rabbi Zalman Rudermann. And we are up to chapter 92, which is called The Youth Who Disappeared. A merchant from Vilna was staying in Minsk while all the commotion was going on about the mysterious boy. "I know him very well," the merchant informed the Rav's messengers. "His name is Elio. He is the son of Rav Shlomo Zalman Kramer. Where I come from, we all refer to him as the Eloi of Seltz." The businessman also knew where the boy might be found. "I saw him leave Minsk together with some paupers," he explained. "I heard one of them tell another that they were heading towards Brisk." "Come, my son," said the Gaon, turning to Rav Moshe. "We must hurry to catch up with them. Perhaps we will succeed in finding this precious boy." Rav Yechiel Halperin longed to meet the Eloi who had correctly answered his most complicated questions, so he and his son set off at once in a horse-drawn carriage along the road that led to Brisk. It did not take them long to catch up with the group of paupers, who were seated on the thick grass at the side of the road, enjoying a simple meal. When they realized that the carriage that had pulled up alongside them carried the Rav of Minsk, they rose to their feet in respect. Rav Yechiel descended from the carriage and looked carefully at the group. "Tell me," he asked urgently, "where is that boy who came to Minsk with you? Is he not with you any longer?" "Him?" replied the beggars. "Yes, he's with us, but he's very quiet. He barely speaks." "Where is he now?" asked the Rav. "I don't see him with you." The paupers looked around. Surprisingly, the boy was nowhere to be seen. "Ah, that boy," one of them exclaimed, waving his hand towards the forest surrounding them. "He must have slipped away to some quiet spot. He does that every time we stop for a bite to eat. But don't worry, he'll come back. He always does." Thanking the paupers for the information, Rav Yechiel and Rav Moshe began to search the nearby area. Their efforts soon paid off, and they came across an amazing sight. At some distance from the group, among the tall forest trees, atop a small anthill, sat the boy they were looking for. His eyes were tightly shut. Words of Torah poured from his lips. And all the while, ants clambered all over him, biting as they crawled on his body. Trembling in awe and excitement, Rav Yechiel and his son approached the Eloi. The boy did not notice anything around him. Clearly, he was afflicting himself as a form of gullus. He had deliberately sat upon the anthill so that the ants would bite him. In past generations, it had been common among many of the great Torah leaders to perform similar forms of gullus. They would cause themselves all sorts of pain and suffering in order to purify themselves, to refine their bodies, and to atone for the sins of their generation. Rav Yechiel and his son stood very still, watching for a while. Then suddenly, the boy opened his eyes. He was horrified to see the Rav of Minsk and his son, to whom he had given the paper with the answer to his father's questions, standing just a few feet away and staring at him. He was bitterly disappointed that his secret had been discovered. "Why do you hide yourself?" Rav Yechiel asked the boy after a few moments. "Because this is the path that I have chosen," he replied simply. "By hiding yourself, you are preventing us from giving you the proper respect due to the Torah," said the Rav accusingly. The Rav and the boy continued their discussion for a while. In the end, the Rav demanded that the boy return with him to Minsk so that the community could hold a grand welcoming celebration, as was fitting for such a mighty expert in Torah. The boy's eyes filled with tears, but the Rav was firm, and in the end, Elio consented. When they arrived back in Minsk, Rav Yechiel held a meeting with the leaders of the community and introduced them to the Eloi of Seltz. This time, they did not allow him to sleep in the public guest house among wandering beggars and other simple Jewish travelers. The leaders of the community brought him to a magnificent home. They presented him with a sparkling new set of clothes. Rav Yechiel informed his young guest that the welcoming celebration in his honor would be held the next morning in the central Beis Medrash. In the morning, Rav Yechiel and the other great scholars gathered early in the Beis Medrash. Many of the city's residents had also arrived in order to catch a glimpse of the incredible Eloi. They waited and waited, but the boy did not come. Although Rav Yechiel felt uncomfortable about this, he decided he had no choice but to send some of the respected members of the community to the home at which the boy was staying to encourage him to come faster. When they arrived, they found the door locked. Quietly, with utmost respect, they knocked on the door. There was no answer. They continued knocking, harder and quicker, but still nobody answered. They called his name, but no one responded. Not a sound could be heard from within the house. By now, they were worried for the boy. Had something happened to him, Chas v'Shalom? They walked around to the back of the house where they came across an open window. Clearly, the Eloi had climbed out and left the city of Minsk so that he would not have to reveal his greatness in public. The leaders of Minsk were disappointed. From now on, they decided, they would make an effort to carefully check every guest that arrived in their city, even the beggars. Who knows? One of them may be a hidden Talmud Chacham like the young Eloi. They were determined to fulfill the mitzvah of honoring Talmidei Chachamim. Rav Yechiel was upset that he had missed the opportunity of publicly honoring the Eloi of Seltz. Sometime later, he decided to send a group of three messengers to the boy's home in order to at least thank him for giving the community of Minsk the merit of hosting him, at least for a few hours. One of these messengers was Yosef Yitzchak, the Eloi of Sharye. The delegation arrived at the home of the Eloi of Seltz. They quickly discovered that the boy was not there. They were told that the boy had not yet finished wandering around in Gullus with the paupers. Pained at having again missed an opportunity to see the special boy, they had no choice but to return to Minsk, their mission unfulfilled. Of the three messengers, Yosef Yitzchak was the most bitterly disappointed. He desperately wished to meet Eliyahu, the Eloi of Seltz, face to face. Perhaps, without realizing it, his heart sensed that young Eliyahu would one day grow to become famous across the entire world as Rav Eliyahu of Vilna, the Vilna Gaon, who would lead the Misnagdim in a bitter fight against the path of Yosef Yitzchak's own Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov. We will now return to the story of Yosef Yitzchak. If you remember, Yosef Yitzchak was the son of the good-hearted Kerpel. The Baal Shem Tov had given Kerpel and his son many instructions, which they followed very carefully. One of the instructions had been that Kerpel enroll his son in the yeshiva of Minsk. Kerpel and his wife Bracha had done so. They then moved to Minsk to be near Yosef Yitzchak while he studied. After Rav Yechiel Halpern moved to Minsk from nearby Slutsk, Yosef Yitzchak continued to grow ever greater in Torah. At the same time, he became involved in community affairs as well. One of the gatherings of the Vad HaHaratzos was held at that time in the city of Vitebsk. Rav Yechiel chose Yosef Yitzchak to attend the meeting of the Vad and represent the entire Minsk community. Yosef Yitzchak wanted to refuse. Who was he to represent the entire city of Minsk? How could he presume to discuss communal affairs with the Talmidei Chachamim of the generation? He was just a bachur. However, the Baal Shem Tov, with whom he was in constant secret contact, insisted that he accept the task. At this point, he had to keep his connection with the Baal Shem Tov and the path that he taught, the path that would eventually become the ways of Hasidus, an absolute secret. And so Yosef Yitzchak informed Rav Yechiel that he accepted the assignment and he set out for Vitebsk. The message that the Baal Shem Tov had sent, instructing Yosef Yitzchak to represent Minsk at the Vad, also contained another message, one that would greatly affect the Bachar's life.